We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we have so many opportunities, Lord, to bless you. We have so many opportunities to trust you, and I am thankful, Lord, that you have given us those opportunities. And I pray, Father, right now, as we just look into your word, Lord, that our hearts would be open, our ears would be open, our mind will be open, Lord. We would be sensitive to your voice, Lord, and we will learn the things that you want us to learn from these portions of text. Lord, we want to bless you in all that we say and do. I want to thank you, Lord, personally, for having Ed being our security guy. He's always been there for us. He waits for the last person to leave. He doesn't go before that last person leaves. And just, it's been great having him, Lord. We pray that you would bless him and our worship leaders, Lord, that you would continue to work in their lives. And remind us, Lord, that they're the ones who are on the front lines, that they are the ones that present themselves before you, Lord, and bring us into that throne room, and that they are the ones who go into the battle first. So, Lord, we pray that you would protect them, Father, that your hand would be on them, that they would be sensitive to your voice, that they would be strengthened by your might, Lord, and be encouraged, and that you would meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you for this word that we are about to open and pray that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we come on to chapter 14 of the book of Romans. And of course, we're not going to be able to cover every detail of these three chapters, but we are going to go over them briefly. And what I have in my notes that I'm going to be teaching you from, I have another sheet that I will give you after I'm done teaching and we go out to have our potluck. I have another sheet of notes that has more information than what I'm giving you tonight. So if you would like a copy of that, I'd be happy to give that to you. I want to warn you, none of the things that I'm saying from the pulpit here are on that paper. So you're going to want to take notes, and I feel like such a teacher. You will take notes and you will like it. And so just so that you can remember the things that are in there. And so as we move into chapter 14, chapter 14 is really a continuation of chapter 13 because it's reminding us of the way that we present ourselves. Remember, we talked about that the new commandment is that we are to love one another as Christ loves us. And that's what this chapter is talking about. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we love one another as Christ loved us? And so there are four things about this. The first thing that it is going to tell us about is that we are not to judge. We don't have the right to judge anyone under any circumstances. There is only one righteous judge, and that is God himself and Jesus Christ, who is to judge. And so we are learning in this that we are not to look down on other people or to be discouraged by them. We are not to be looking at them. When it talks about being those who are weaker, you know what? They may be weaker in the things that have to do with food or the days that they keep, but they're much stronger. They may be weaker than I am in those issues, but they are much stronger in other issues than I am, and I'm the one who's the weak person. So we need not to judge one another based on those things, because it says that in verse 7, for none of us lives our lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. We are to live for one another. We are to live in a way that brings other people to Christ. And so we have four things, four do's that Paul gives us. The one thing that I was reminded of, and I know that all of you have thought about it as you've been studying. By the way, how many of you finished your homework? Ooh, I'm so impressed. All three chapters. Wow. I am really impressed. Where was I? Okay, so while I was thinking about all of that, this Romans tends to be a lot about what Paul said, what Paul did, what Paul and Paul, and we're talking all about Paul. And it hit me this morning, this is not about Paul. This is about Jesus Christ. And when we're followers of Jesus Christ, we're not followers per se of Paul, is all that I'm thinking in terms of that. And we're talking about who he was and what he did. But anyway, getting back to who he is and what he did and how he did it, he gives us four do's if we are to build unity in the diversity amongst us. Would you say that all of us are different? Yes, all of us are completely unique from one another. We are completely unique, each one of us. None of us is exactly like another person. We are unique unto ourselves. How do we build that unity with that kind of diversity? And so number one is that we are to determine that we are not to be the source of stumbling. We are to determine not to be the source of stumbling. And we have that in verse 13. It says that, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, what is a stumbling block? A stumbling block is any attitude or action that causes another believer to sin or to become confused about God's character and purposes. So a stumbling block is any attitude or action that causes another believer to sin or to become confused about God's character and God's purposes. So we do not want to do that. Number one, we determine not to be a source of stumbling for someone else. We want to watch our attitude. We want to watch our actions and make sure that what we're doing is not drawing them away from Christ, but drawing them to Christ. Number two, if we are to build unity amidst our diversities, we are to have an eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. I love eternal perspective. Does it have any eternal value? That thing that you are so concerned about in someone else, that thing that you are so concerned and so annoyed by someone else, does it have any eternal value? If it has eternal value and it's flat out sin, yes, you need to confront it. Yes, you need to deal with it. But if it has no eternal value and it's just something that annoys you, let it go. It has no eternal value. We need to concentrate on eternals, not externals. Concentrate on eternals and not externals. And number three, if we are to build unity amidst our diversity, we are to actively pursue what benefits others. We are to actively pursue what benefits others. Verse 19, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And I love the next verse. Just don't destroy the work of God. Don't destroy the work of God. Love others as I have loved you, Jesus said. Make sure that you love one another as I have loved you. That's how you are to conduct yourself. That's how we have that unity if we amidst our diversities. And number four, to build unity amidst our diversities, we are to do all that we can do with a clear conscience. Do all that we can do with a clear conscience. What am I talking about here? When it says that We are not to stumble anyone. Okay, so say perhaps, we'll just use the food as an issue. Say perhaps I am only eating vegetables and I feel like God has told me I am only to eat vegetables, I am not to eat meat. But you come along and you say, oh, well, I'm free to eat meat, and you're really, you know, weak to not eat the meat, and so you really should try it, and you should do that. So, and then I try it. Well, for me, I'm not doing it with a clear conscience because I know that God told me I was supposed to only eat vegetables. For me, it's sin. I have a friend who God told her she is not to eat chocolate. Now, I can have chocolate if I want to. Do I eat chocolate in front of her? No, because I happen to not like chocolate, but that's the only probably the only reason. But I do make sure that when everybody else is being given chocolate, that she gets white chocolate, because white chocolate has no chocolate in it. But anyway, so if she were to take a piece of chocolate, and just because everybody else is doing, everybody else is eating that piece of chocolate, not that particular piece of chocolate, but chocolate, and everybody else is eating chocolate, if she were to take that chocolate and eat it, she was not doing it with a clear conscience because she's not convinced in her heart that that's what God wants her to do. So that's what it means. Do all that we can do with a clear conscience. Make sure you're doing what God has told you to do. And so with all of that, then we can move on to, and we're putting one another first. And so we move on to chapter 15. Before we do that, though, love is more important than liberty. Love is more important than liberty. And relationships are more important than observing regulations. Relationships are more important than observing regulations. So basically, putting each other first. And so we finish with chapter 14, and we move on to 15, where it says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Not to please ourselves is the key there that I have underlined. Not to please ourselves. Let each of us bear his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And we move down to verse 4, that these were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, with one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, we go right back to that first verse, and the word bear in there, that we are to bear with the scruples of the weak. We are to bear their burden, so to speak. The same word, bear, is used in John chapter 19, verse 17, and it's the same word used of Christ bearing his cross. So we are to bear the needs of others or the weaknesses of others. We carry that. We sacrifice ourselves for that other person. We let it go. We don't have that piece of chocolate for someone else. We don't have that piece of meat for someone else. Last week we talked about we don't drink because of someone else, because we don't want to be that stumbling block. We don't want anything in our attitude or our actions to draw anyone away from Christ. And so we have a few things here on chapter 15. And what chapter 15 shows us is it shows us a missionary's heart. It shows us a missionary's heart, chapter 15. Now, if we have a missionary's heart, I will see my mission as entirely sacred and therefore a fragrant offering to Christ. I will see my mission or my calling or what I'm doing as entirely sacred and therefore a fragrant offering to Christ. That is, all of my life is glorifying to Him. All of my life is glorifying to Him. I need to look at what I'm doing and know that everything that I am doing, I have set apart for Christ. I have set apart for Him. I will sacrifice my own desires to please God. And if I am to have a missionary's heart, I will give to God the credit for everything. I will give to God the credit for everything. Everything. He deserves the credit for everything. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, remember how Paul goes back to just encouraging the people, and he really wants them to be encouraged? He says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, or my sisters, that you also are full of goodness, verse 14, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. This is pure love, full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able also to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to confront one another when necessary. That's what true love is. That's what it is in Scripture. Going down to verse 17, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. We're going to move over to, I think it starts in verse 25, but I will just tell you that he was on his way to Jerusalem to deliver a collection that was made for him, a collection of money that were made for the people, for the poor people, the poor church in Jerusalem. And so he is on his way to Jerusalem to do that. Verse 27, it pleased them indeed, those who collected it, and they are their debtors for those in Jerusalem. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister them in material things. Let's take care of the people who take care of us spiritually. I am not talking about paying the pastor. That's not what I'm talking about here. I am talking about making sure that those who are preaching the gospel, those who are teaching the gospel, the missionaries in the different places have the adequate support. When I talk about Teresa Keenan, who all she wants in her support is enough money to be able to make a meal so that she can invite the neighbors over. That's all she wants. She doesn't want a new car. She doesn't want any of those other things. She just wants enough to bless the people that are around her. And so that's what it means, that we are to provide for those. We are to provide for those that are the poor. And then our number three thing that we have, if we have a missionary's heart, is found in verse 28. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. He was on his way to Spain. If we are to have a missionary's heart, it is a heart that is visionary. It is a heart that is visionary. We are looking forward to something. We are looking toward something. Paul dreamed of going to Spain, and if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard Pastor Bill talk about what is your Spain? What is the place that you have determined in your heart that you are going to go to as long as you can go there in the will of God? And that's what Paul talks about here. I want to get to you, and I want to get there in the will of God. I want to make sure that I'm walking in the will of God. So Paul dreamed of going to Spain. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? Do you have a place that you want to go, that you might preach the gospel, that you might share the love of Christ? Now, am I talking about if you don't want to go to another country, you are weak or you are something other than? No, that's not at all what I'm talking about. All of us can go to other countries without leaving our homes, because we can pray. And when we pray, we can touch more people than we could if just one of us went. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go. If God has called you to go to another country, you go. And you go according to his will. But I know that God has put on all of our hearts a country that we are to pray for and that we are to be a part of and that we are to minister through prayer for and see the glory of God in that country. See what God will do just in your time of prayer. And that moves us on to number 4 that covers in verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. And so if you are to have a missionary's heart, number 4 is we are to have a heart that prays passionately, a heart that prays passionately in private as well as in public. I've been in places where people prayed these beautiful, fantastic prayers, and they used the right language, and they were so passionate in their prayer. I found myself listening to more to what they were saying than realizing this is supposed to be going to God. And so they have this big, passionate thing, and then I move into chapter 14 and start judging them. That was supposed to be a little joke there. But I move in and I start judging them because I'm thinking, I wonder if they pray that passionately when it's just them and God. We should be praying more passionately when it's just me and God. My prayers should be more filled with passion when it's just the two of us together. When there's nobody else to listen and think about how nice I sound, or how well I've put those words together, or what a nice little phrase for me to remember. God calls us to that passionate prayer. And then to have a missionary's heart. A missionary's heart is a heart for God. It is a heart for God. And so we are striving together to pray with him. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, walking in the will of God. Now the God, verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. And then we move right on into chapter 16. And now in chapter 16, there are a number of women's names that are mentioned in this list. And it is very interesting to me as we start in that, and I commend to you Phoebe. Now Phoebe means radiant or bright. Radiant or bright. She's identified as a sister who was a servant in the church there in the seaport from Corinth, and that we are to receive, that they were to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, in a manner that is worthy of the saints, taking care of those who are preaching the word, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself as well. He goes on to say that you are to greet Priscilla and Aquila. We know that Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. They were friends of Paul's. Paul met them in Corinth. Paul left Corinth for Ephesus. He took them with him. That's in Acts 18 and 19. The church met in their house. It says that in verse 4 that they risked their own necks for my life. Likewise, greet the church, but verse 5, that is the church that's in their house. Greet my beloved, I call him Epi because I can't pronounce his name, who is the first fruits in Asia. He was the first convert in Asia. As we believe it there. We move down to, it goes on verse 6, and it says to greet Mary, who labored much for us. 6 times in the New Testament, the name Mary is mentioned, and this particular one was mentioned because she was a very hard worker. She labored much for us. And then we move down to the names listed in verse 12 are women's names, and it says, greet Tryphena, which means dainty, and Tryphosa, which means delicate. Dainty and delicate. We move on in that and greet the beloved Persis. Persis was the slave's name. And Paul referred to the mother, and then greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Please greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So she was like a mother to me. Greet Julia in verse, Paul, Julia in would have been the wife of a guy whose name starts with Phil. So in verse 15. And so I just call him Phil because I can pronounce it. And then it moves on and it says, greet one another with a key word here. A holy kiss. Not a passionate kiss, not a sensual kiss, but a holy kiss. This was traditional for them. This was culture for them. We are to greet one, they were to greet one another with a holy kiss. It's still done today, and it's still done today in a number of other countries, that holy kiss. I don't work well with it. You know, I don't want other guys kissing my cheek even. You know, I don't, but God said that they were to greet each other with a holy kiss. So that when you greet one another, be respectful of one another is all that he's simply saying there. Just be respectful of each other. Greet each other with a holy kiss. And then he goes on to say, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They have smooth words, flattering speech. They deceive many. And for your obedience has become known to all, verse 19, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Does that mean you are to be just like, oh, I don't know anything, I'm naive. Not naive, simple. You call evil, evil. You call it for what it is. You get to the point on it. You want to be wise in what is good and simple in what is evil. And so in chapter 16, we would give a title of praise to God. This is praise to God. Our God is the only wise God. He is in his infinite wisdom. He devises perfect endings and achieves it by perfect means. He devises perfect endings and achieves it by perfect means. In his wisdom, number one, in his wisdom, he has made it possible for people who were bound by their sinfulness to be set free, free from their sins, and to know we have eternal life. We have an eternal home with him. And number two, we know he made us sons and daughters. How? By his sacrifice. We have been adopted into the family. He has chosen us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We just responded to that choosing. And so we become daughters of his by his own sacrifice. To all of this, we can only say, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Paul, with his missionary hearts, ends with verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. He will do it. He will do it, ladies. He's going to do it, just as he promised. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. His missionary's heart, the peace, the grace, God's riches at Christ's expense be with you all. God's riches at Christ's expense be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And my prayer for us ladies is that we would know the things that God has spoken to us as we've gone through this book of Romans, that we would have changed lives because of the time that we've invested in our study of it. that this study doesn't stop here, that as we go through the month of December and into the first part of January, that you'll look in your book and you'll finish the last three chapters, if you haven't finished those. You'll go over your notes. You'll look at what you have learned, and you will learn new things along the way. God's word is alive, and it is new every morning. Every time I read the word of God, I come up with something new. So don't stop. Just keep walking closely with the Lord. When we get together next time in January, we will be going through the book of Zechariah. And I believe it's the third week in January that we will be starting our study through the book of Zechariah. And so, Lord, we are thankful, Father, for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We are blessed beyond measure, Lord, beyond anything that we deserve. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And we want to love you more. We just want to love you more, Lord. We want to be used by you. We want to glorify you. We want to lift you up, Lord. We want the world to come to know you because of the way that we see, that they see that we love one another. Father, we pray for our country, Lord, that you would deliver us from our sinfulness. Lord, that you would deliver us, Father, from the things that are just tearing us down. Would you forgive us, Lord, and have mercy upon us? Father, we pray that you would speak to our leaders, Lord, that you would bring them to yourselves, Lord, and that you would, at the end of the day, would be glorified. Father, we continue to pray for rain, a rain that is life-giving rain, Lord, not torrential rains that destroy, Lord, but a rain that gives life. And I know rain happens to be in the forecast, but I won't stop praying, Lord, because we need more than just that little bit. So I will continue to pray for rain. And I thank you, Lord, that you provide all that we need according to your riches and glory. And Lord, as we go out and just fellowship and talk about the things that we've learned, Lord, and eat some food and just enjoy each other's company, Lord, we know that your presence is there amongst us. Help us to be very, very aware of your presence with us and that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord. Please bless Ed as he watches over us, Lord, and does his job as security. We pray your blessing upon him and on us as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.